Well, turning your Bibles to Philippians 2, we're about at the halfway mark of this great prison book of joy. Paul models and encourages joy in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. And of course, he pointed to Jesus as the ultimate example of joy in serving others. Jesus, who though he was in the very form of God, did not consider equality with God something to take hold of or grasp, but emptied himself and took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And I think you all know the rest of it. God highly exalted him and gave him the name, highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so that's our ultimate example of humility. And so last week we looked at our sanctification, and once we're justified or saved, we have to work out our salvation, get every gold nugget out of that mine of salvation we're given. That's what Paul said. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but also in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then he goes on to say, it's God who works in and through you. So we partner with God, working out our salvation, but really it's God who works in and through us. And then we're told last week we're to shine, not wine. I know that's a little corny. But I want to tell you, we always use that with our mission team. You can be so proud of our mission team. I didn't hear any complaining. The only complaining might have been from the pastor about 9:30 at night saying, I'm kind of tired. But there was no complaining. It was great. And why are we not to complain? That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, that you might shine like stars in the dark universe. Then we're to sacrifice and rejoice. And Paul said he poured himself out. He spent his life for the Philippians. If he was just like a drink offering that came after the ram offering and the grain offering and the mixture of wine was poured off on top and just went poof as a fragrant offering. Paul said, if I'm just a poof being poured out, but it's pleasing to the Lord, then I'll be that. I'll be that drink offering. So mid-April, which I don't expect you to remember, I wrapped up the study of Colossians with a sermon entitled Friends, where Paul introduces to us nine friends. I remember that Monday saying, I'm not sure, Lord, maybe we could probably skip this sermon as Paul just kind of closes out and says goodbye to all these and thanks all these friends. I mean, friends like Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, Nympha, and Archippus. They're not exactly Sunday school, well-known Sunday school names. But you may not remember their names, but they did teach us to be faithful and to be comforting friends and praying friends and ministering friends. And I can tell you that I got more feedback on that sermon than usual. And I don't need feedback, but I just want you to know it was very positive. And so it's like, okay, the sermon I almost didn't preach made an impact, because down deep we all know we need those kind of friends. Well, we come to our text this morning and we learn about two new friends. By the way, Warren Wiersbe counts more than 100 friends that Paul references in Acts and his epistles. Wow, 100 friends that were that dear to Paul. Paul was always grateful for his gospel partners, his gospel friends. He always thanked the Lord for them. He couldn't do his ministry without them. So this morning we're going to meet two new ones, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Steve Lawson calls these two friends case studies in humility. So I'm calling the sermon Humble Friends. Paul has modeled for us what it looks like to be humble and sacrificial for others. He's pointed to Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice. And here's two more case studies of friends who poured their lives out for others. So number one, is where your outline begins. Humble friends show genuine concern for others. Look at verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive more news about you. I have no one else like him who will show concern, genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So who is Timothy? Timothy was the recipient of two books in the Bible, 1 and 2 Timothy. He was a Greek father and a Jewish mother. He joined Paul on Paul's second missionary journey. And Paul addresses Timothy as my true son in the faith. 1 Timothy 1:2. My true son in the faith. You know, we have biological children. We have adopted children. We have spiritual children. And that was what Timothy was to Paul, a spiritual son. He was probably no older than his late teens or early 20s when he joined Paul and had already been distinguished by the elders that noticed him. So here Paul says he hopes to send Timothy to the Philippians so that Paul might be gladdened to learn of their progress in the faith. Paul often trusted Timothy to be an emissary, to take news or receive news, as he did in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 4:17 says this, that is why I sent you Timothy to the Corinthians, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of the ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in all the churches. So notice that Paul refers to Timothy as the beloved son in the faith. And he sent them to Corinth and other places to make sure they understood what Paul was teaching. Paul says that Timothy was a rare servant and that he had no one else like him. What made him so rare? He had a genuine concern for other people. What a commitment. What a commendation of Timothy. Steve Lawson writes, Timothy feels deeply for the welfare of the Philippians, even burdened for them, and he will serve them. Not everyone in the church, and not even in leadership within the church, is like this. Paul knows there are others who seek after their own interests, but not that of Christ. Paul says, this guy's the real deal. He's genuine. And he cares genuinely about the needs of others. He's not pretending to care. He's not feigning concern. He's not looking the other way. I mean, he has genuine empathy and concern for the Philippians and for others. My Holman Study Bible says, the normal human way is the way of self-interest. Protect yourself. Get what you need. If time permits, then help others. Timothy lived differently. Like Paul, he put aside selfish interests. He concentrated on Christ's interests. He lived out the humble, self-giving life Christ had exemplified. He stood as a bright star in a dark universe. It reminds me of Paul's teaching early in Philippians 2:3, when he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but consider others better than yourselves. That's just kind of crazy, upside down teaching, isn't it? But we, even at the risk of repeating another old illustration, we learned a few weeks ago that we're to be third. Jesus, others, you spells out joy. So Jesus, others, me. I have a little thing on my notebook that just says I'm third. On my bulletin board, I'm third. Jesus, others, and then you, or in this case, me. One of my favorite ministry verses was to the church at Thessalonica, where Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of Christ, but our very lives as well. Paul's like, of course I'm going to give you the gospel, but I'm going to give you myself too. I'm going to meet your needs. I'm going to love you. And so when we give the gospel to people, of course we do that. We're gospel believers, gospel livers. We live out the gospel. Of course we're going to give the gospel to people, but we give ourselves as well. Paul is saying that the gospel and gospel friends look out for the genuine needs of other people. And when we do that, when we're authentic and it's genuine, we stand out as different. Humble friends show genuine concern. Second, humble friends work together for the gospel. Look at verse 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself might come soon. Remember, Paul's in prison. He wants to go to the Philippians. He's not sure. He's got to wait to see how things play out. But he's confident he's going to get to go. In the meantime, he's going to send Timothy. Why? Timothy has proven himself. As they work together as partners, he's proven himself. We see Timothy joining Paul's second missionary journey. And that's also where the church of Philippi was founded. So in Acts 16, 1 and 2, we have this account. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So he was already well spoken of as a very young man. And he joins Paul. They begin their partnership, you might say. They're testing. Paul's beginning to test Timothy by working with Timothy. And by the way, this is the mission trip where the Philippians were first formed. The church was first formed. So Paul knew them. Timothy knew the Philippians. So to send them there as an emissary, they would say, oh, we know Timothy. We long to see him. So someone said, you've just been on a mission trip and now you're preaching. I'm like, yes, but half my sermon was done before I left. And then I finished it yesterday. Okay, I had all Saturday. I don't normally do that. And so, but then it's just mission trips kind of bleed into my sermons when that happens, you know. It's just I can't kind of help it. So I was thinking about our mission partners and some of our mission partners. And I was thinking about El Salvador. One of the oldest international partners we have, and we worked with a couple of churches, and we've taken more people to El Salvador than any other part of the world. I know the number, but I have to go look it up. Those of you who have ridden the blue van, who's ridden the blue van? Come on, I know you, some of you, Kyle, you have. It got wrecked last week. It just made me sad to see the picture on Facebook, but it was old, and we prayed every time we got in that van. But it's gone. It's gone to van heaven, all right? So so I'm sad we haven't gotten there. We recently opened up a partnership to Italy where we're helping come alongside a church there. And we haven't been able to go to Italy or El Salvador because of COVID, but I am praying that in 2022 we get to go to one or both, and so someone here needs to pray about going. I need a partner. This past week I was reminded of a 6-year-old partnership we had in New Orleans. I don't know if there's hardly anybody here who would remember that. But when Katrina hit, I'm scanning the crowd. When Katrina hit, several of us went. Florence, you went down there. Dell, you went down there. We did a feeding thing. We fed thousands of people. And I promise you, I guarantee you, I've never worked harder in my life than with those people who fed people. And then we connected with the church, First Baptist Chalmette. They lost their parsonage. They lost their church. The pastor lost his library. So we connected with them for 6 years. We went down there, and those of you who know Rick Scott, Rick Scott led a team down there, and we were the first ones there to frame up the parsonage, and then others came and finished it. Julie, you went down there. And then we kept going back. We would send books every month to the pastor to build up his library. And that's just little things like that. Pastor's library is important. And we went multiple times to work on the church building, and people from all over the country came to help that church. So I just reminded of that because this past week we were in Northeast Louisiana, and we worked with Deanna Corbett in one of the poorest counties in the world, and we had a great time, and everybody on the team wants to go back, and partnership is a relationship. And so she's inviting us back, and we're praying about really what would a partnership look like with her and come alongside this single woman who's a missionary from the North American Mission Board and helping her. This week I've been thinking a lot about the Chilton Baptist Builders. Really, they're like one of our oldest partners. I mean, 20 years ago, Abby and Brian, the Chilton Builders came. You're 20, right? I know. You've just turned 20. And they came right after Abby was born. I won't tell that story again. But they came, and when they came, there's a slab here. That's it. And on Saturday, they started cutting 2x4s. And on Monday, walls went up. People were freaking out on the highway. And by Tuesday, there was some form of a roof. And on Wednesday, we worshiped under roof right here. And they worked till Thursday. I think they worked till Friday noon, actually. And they left us with this building framed in with rough plumbing and rough electrical and shingled, all except the foyer. There was one little spot they didn't finish. One reason I bring that up is that I got this while I was gone. This came in the mail. This is the Chilton Baptist Builders 2021 mission trip. And it just details their trip, which is going to be to Cape Girardeau to work with the Church of the Rescued and Redeemed. We kind of pointed them that direction. And listed is 89 people who are coming. And I can tell you, I know about half of those 89 people because we've gone on multiple mission trips with them. And I know I've been on at least six. I counted them up. And so because they're our gospel partners. And then inside, it says their calendar of all the churches they've been to. And then June 2022, they're coming to Fruitland Community Church. So it's right there in writing. Because we're going to add to this building, Lord willing. We were going to do it in 2020, but COVID. And then we thought we'd do it in 2021, but COVID. And so, Lord willing, we're going to do it in 2022. So I'm a little embarrassed to tell you this. I told you one time this could be a mission trip where you don't have to go anywhere. You just drive to Cape. And so, but I kept saying, how much would it cost us to participate? Because we don't want to pay $350 because we're not staying in a hotel and we're not eating the food. And they kept saying, they'll get back with us, and they never did. So I assumed, okay, they've got that covered. So that guy, Tommy, called me while I was in Louisiana and said, I'm so sorry. We didn't get you the information. Please come. Those of you who want to come, come. And so we're invited Saturday, 6 a.m. They start early and quit early. And they're going to start cutting 2x4s, making the walls. And then Monday through Thursday, we're invited to come 6 in the morning. And we're invited to eat breakfast and lunch. We can leave a donation for breakfast and lunch, and they're not really prepared for us to eat dinner. I said, we don't need dinner. And so if you'd like to go out, I'm going to go out a little. I'm not going to work the whole week, but I'm going to go out every day with my scoop and broom. It's very important work. It's my calling, okay? I'd rather be a street sweeper. Never mind. So you're going to get an email later today about that. And I'm sorry you don't have the information sooner, but those of you who know the Chilton Builders may just want to go by and say hi, because they're our brothers and sisters. They're truly dear, humble friends who work hard. There's nothing more humbling than to see 100 men and women bow a knee at 6 a.m. and pray for the work of the day. It's incredible. And then they work like nobody's business. I was also thinking about the Lighthouse, who we support financially. They're our partner on campus, and we want to continue to support them. They're even going to start meals back this fall, I believe. And so pray for the Lighthouse. There's so many more partners, I don't have time to list them. But sorry it took a little bit of a remembrance, but not sorry. Paul says this in Philippians 1, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. As he thought about his Philippian gospel partners, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Then Ephesians 4 says this, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who's the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. And so when we work together, the church is built up in love and strengthened. I think as we build and join hands with other partners, the kingdom is strengthened and built up. And so we are as well. Humble friends show genuine concern and work together for the gospel. And lastly, risk their lives to serve others. Look at a new friend found in verse 25. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow work soldier, who's also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Okay. Paul mentions this guy Epaphroditus, who he has to send back. He just has to send back to them. Who is Epaphroditus? Well, he played a key role, whether you know his name or not. He's mentioned twice in the book of Philippians. Epaphroditus is the one who actually takes the Philippian book to the Philippian church. But before that, he brought a care package from the Philippian church to Paul. You know, Paul's in prison. Paul has health issues himself. Paul describes it as a thorn in the flesh. And so he receives this care package from a church, a partner church, who brings a care package. And then the one who delivers it, Epaphroditus, decides to stay longer, go the second mile, and minister to Paul there in prison. During that time, he gets sick and apparently keeps ministering to Paul to the point that he almost dies. Now, of course, the Philippian church is hearing about this and becoming very anxious for their friend. Paul is getting anxious because they're getting anxious. So it says, he's been spared. He's healthy. Not only did he spare him, he spared me. Because he saved me grief upon grief, sorrow upon sorrow. So he sends him back and says, I want you to be glad that he's okay. I want to be less anxious because you're worried about him. But he says this guy risked his life to take care of me. So receive him with honor. We need more people like this, Paul says. My Holman commentary says the Philippians must not see Epaphroditus as sickly or weakling who failed in his mission. No, he was a Christian hero. He had risked his life in service for Christ, representing the Philippian church for doing for Paul what others in the church could not do. Thus, Paul praised both the individual minister and the church for their faithfulness in carrying out God's mission, even at risk. So I just want to ask, what have you risked? I mean, we all don't have to risk our lives. And by the way, there's a difference between following the Lord and his will and being reckless. I mean, we're not promoting recklessness. I don't know what the line is. The line may be between you and Lord, what's reckless and what's risky. But I know when you're being obedient, there's almost always some level of risk. And what are we holding back for? You know, Christians through the years have always been the ones to respond in compassion. They were the ones who went to the leper colonies. They're the ones who would risk their own health to show compassion to a neighbor in need. So, when someone calls and says, I have no food, but I want you to know I have COVID, what do you do? Well, I put on a mask and put it on the door and ring the doorbell and talk to her on the phone. We love you. And if you need anything else, let us know. I mean, we have to have compassion. That wasn't even a risk, good grief. I didn't go in the house. Wasn't even a risk. I mean, the first hospitals that came together were Christians. They started the hospitals out of compassion. The Red Cross, it started out of Christian compassion. John Calvin, speaking of Epaphroditus, said he would rather be negligent to his health than deficient in his duty. Rather be negligent in his health than diligent in his duty. Now, we're all told that we have to put the oxygen mask on first, right? And that's true. So put the mask on and then look around and see who you can help get their mask on too. You don't put your mask on and go like, well, good luck to you. Good luck. No. We take care of ourselves in such a way that we can take care of others. Of course, Jesus is the greatest example of this. John 15:13, greater love is this than no one, that a man lay down his life for his friends. A man risked his life for his friends. Of course, Jesus did more than risk. He did it. He laid it down on the cross. So what are we risking? I mean, what are you afraid to lose? Time? What are you afraid to lose? Money? I have conversations, legitimate conversations when we take mission trips about safety sometimes. I respect all decisions that are made, but at some point you got to be cautious, but take a risk. We're not reckless, but we're willing to follow the Lord where he leads. Humble friends show concern for others, genuine concern. Work together for the gospel and risk their lives. So how do you respond this morning? I was going to ask this question. Are you a humble friend? And then I thought, that's a tough question to say. Yes, Pastor Mike, I'm a very, very humble friend. Well, that's kind of a, so let me ask it differently, okay? Let me ask it this way. Do you show genuine concern for other people? I mean, show it. So this is what I often do in a week's time. Sometimes you write down all the things you got to do. Boom, 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 boom. There's like 23 things. You can't do them all anyway, but you put them down. And some go to next week. So how about another list in your quiet time as you're praying? Who are two or three people that I need to show genuine Christian concern for this week? Write them down. There are more than three people around you, but if you thought of two or three around you and showed it, and the next week do it again, and next week find three more people. Are you willing to partner with someone else for the gospel? Maybe it's working at a camp. Maybe it's going on a mission trip. Maybe it's getting a men's group together to do a mission project, or a ladies' group getting together to do a mission project. But partner for the gospel. And what are you willing to risk? Time, money. I don't know who in this room really has put risk of their life often. Okay, I'm not saying you're... We just don't have to do that to share the gospel usually around here. But are you willing to put it all on the line like Christ put it on the line for us? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We do thank you for these two case studies in humble friendship. And for Timothy and Epaphroditus, who aren't perfect. But they do show, Paul wanted to lift them up and show us how we can live our lives. For Paul to say, I have no one like Timothy who has proven himself time and time again, working together with me for the gospel, and he has a genuine concern for the Philippians and for others. God, we want to be that way. And God, we always want to partner with people. We can't do everything. We can't be everything on the college campus, but we can partner with the Lighthouse. We can't do everything other places, but we can partner in Italy and El Salvador, perhaps Northeast Louisiana. We can partner with the Chilton Builders and continue to build church buildings year after year after year for the gospel. We can partner right here and give out food and do vacation Bible school and work in Awana, partnering together for the gospel to teach kids who live right here in this community. So, Lord, I just pray you might put a burden on someone here to say, yes, I want to be that kind of friend. I want to show genuine concern. I'm willing to work with others for the cause, and I will risk if that's what it takes. So, as we sing this last song, help us as we process this and make some commitments. And maybe we even jot down two or three names right now of someone we can show genuine concern for. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.